is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blind check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break, tell it grieve me. Boy, I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke. Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Baton, I say up and running. Charlie Brown say my show boy don't ever give in. 7 years of farming, watch the crops them coming. Today see I humble thing, the lion sleeping. But they ain't for no reason,
Good evening, Bahamas, and welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I am your host, Valentino Brown, a.k.a. Scoochie Scrooge or Scroogey, host of the talk show Inside the Inner City that premieres on Guardian Radio every 6:30 to 8 p.m. Telephone numbers tonight on Guardian Radio are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, and you can text us, powered by BTC, at 422-GR96. You can follow us on Guardian Quest, and also you can look us up on Facebook, 969 FM. Okay, I hope everyone is having a wonderful Friday evening. Today we're going to have a wonderful show. We like to have conversation that deals with the national issues. We have some problems in the country that has been going invisible for a long time, but if you listen worldwide, you're seeing it's become a big topic in court cases. It's become a big issue in divorce settlement and marriage. It has become a big issue, and that, what I'm talking about, is mental health. Today we have a very informative person. He's a doctor himself. He was on the show a few weeks ago, along with some of his colleagues who have made themselves some honest businessmen in the country. And we're talking to Carlos Drifters and Scrubber Fish Fries, Joey's restaurant and bar that is situated on Fish Fry. They were on a few months ago, and Dr. Knowles were here. And what he had to say is a reflection on what's happening in our country today. And I was saying recently, we discussed it over and over, as part of the Ministry of National Security and being an advisory. I've been on the advisory board of the Ministry of National Security. This topic has come up quite frequently in the last 10 years in the country. So I want to bring a professional in studio today who can lead us the way on why we should pay close attention to mental health. And before we do that, I just want to let him introduce himself to the general public, because it's important that, you know, these are persons who are taking the time out to give this information. You know, they're very busy. The schedule is very tight. And I appreciate Dr. Knowles for taking the time out to make this Friday available, not only for me and Guardian Radio, but for the general public on this important matter that we need to discuss in the country.
Well, good evening, Valentino. Good evening, Bahamas. And as always, Valentino, it's always a pleasure to be here. And I can't think of a better way to spend this Friday evening than to do what I enjoy doing best, and that's talking to people about mental health. Yes. So thank you so much for having me.
It's my pleasure.
All right. Where do I start? I'm passionate about mental health. I am a physician. I work at the San Luis Rehabilitation Center, and I also have my own private practice that I am the co-CEO with my best friend from high school, Dr. Narad Morgan.
Wow.
And it's called Emmanuel, As I've said, and the reason for that is God with us. Basically, we want that to be a place where not only people take care of their physical bodies, but also their mental and spiritual as well. So this is our third year, to God be the glory. We opened right up before the pandemic hit. And so, yeah, we're excited about what we're doing in the community and looking forward to doing greater things. As far as mental health is concerned, I treat those conditions as well. More so, my passion is in the substance abuse area, where I'm currently stationed at the Sunderland Rehabilitation Center. I also treat a whole lot of depression that we're seeing. I'm sure we'll talk a lot about that. Depression, anxiety, schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, and and mental health. When we talk about mental health, it's critical, because at the end of the day, if there is no mental health that is taken care of, then you have no health.
Wow. The reason I want to have this conversation, just recently the Bahamas government has taken the issue. I think they just passed a bill in Parliament where they have made mental health a part of legislation to probably make sure that it is passed, that we have the tools. But that's a step in the right direction. Mm-hmm. But all those words you gave, and you talked about substance abuse and et cetera, mm-hmm. Combined together, I think all of them has something to do with mental health, even though they're in different categories. But how you explain it, and when I'm really looking at it from a perspective living on the inner city community all my life, all those things you said, depression and you know, substance abuse and health and all those stuff.
Yeah.
It seems to be like all that fits the same bill you just said. But anyway, it's a pleasure to have you on this wonderful Friday. And I just want to say this to the listeners. I was watching Criminal Minds night before last. You know, I just watched to see how the doctors and the psychologists them talk to a specific person of interest. In a particular, it could be any kind of rape or assault case or a murder case. And what I got to listen, it stated that in the U.S., 10 million Americans suffer from mental health. Mm-hmm. And then 3 to 5% out of that suffer from extreme mental health. Now, I know you said we're going to discuss depression and substance abuse. We will. God, you give me an understanding in the general public, actually, what he mean by when they said 3 to 5% is extreme mental health. What do they mean by extreme?
Okay. So I think a good place to start, Valentino, is to define mental health so our audience understands
go ahead.
The meaning of it.
So, sorry for interrupting.
I'm going to use the definition that's given by the World Health Organization, and they define mental health as a state of well-being in which an individual, number one, realizes his or her own abilities, number two, can cope with the normal stresses of life, number three, can work productively and fruitfully, and number four, can make a meaningful contribution to society. So if all of the persons listening to me can put a check mark to those four criteria, then it goes to say that you have good mental health. Now, suffice it to say that as long as you're alive, you're going to go through some form of stress.
Depression.
Well, I mean, not even that extreme, but stress in general.
Okay,
you probably agree with me.
Yes.
Driving the streets
of New Orleans. I agree.
Yeah, driving in New Orleans alone is enough to cause your blood pressure to go up.
Yeah, because a lot of people can't drive.
But the concern is that it does no impairment. You can still function optimally at work, at home, in church, in the community.
Yes.
But unfortunately, for a growing sector of our society, if I may be quite frank with you, there becomes impairment where they cannot function at home. Mm. They're not able to function, you know, in their respective roles as husbands and wives and as parents or even at work.
Mm.
And so for those persons, one of two things can happen. One, they do a good job of masking it, but the quality of life is so drastically impaired that, you know, they're not eating, they're not sleeping, or they're sleeping too much, or they don't want to get out of bed, or they can't concentrate, or they're always tired.
Mm-hmm.
Or it may be to the point where they may have psychosis, such as hearing voices in the form of auditory hallucinations, or seeing things in the form of visual hallucinations. They may become delusional, and basically they become a danger not only to themselves, but to persons in society. And so the statistic that you gave in the United States, I think it speaks to the mental health becoming not only more at the forefront, because so many people are now realizing that their mental health is impaired, yes, but sir. Also to the point where people are needing to get help in the form of seeing a mental health professional or even having to be hospitalized because of the fact that their mental health is so impaired.
Wow, it's very informative, and you're well educated. And like I said, you know, we are a local show, but we go out and get the best for you guys who are listening out there, okay? We get the best professionals, and this is good for us as a country. You talk about substance abuse,
Yeah.
And you said it's one of your programs that you deal with.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about substance abuse. What is substance abuse, even though, no?
Right, right. Well, so I think the first thing... the first point I would want to state when it talks about substance abuse is that any drug, if I can be frank with you, food is a drug.
Yeah, okay.
That can affect you mentally, right?
Too much eat.
Yeah.
Overgorging yourself.
Or just the type of food you're eating, you know? Mm. I'm not going to call any particular brand, but if you're eating chicken in the bag every day, that grease and all that fries, that's not only going to impair you mentally because you're going to feel, in words that we like to use, having negritis, but essentially that dampens your cognitive abilities, you know, to the point where you want to feel tired and sleep, right? So I say that to say food, even in itself, is a drug. But when we talk about a drug in particular, in the strict context, as it relates to substance use disorders, we're talking about drugs that people use and abuse for the purpose of getting, quote-unquote, high. And with that comes a plethora of problems and... I don't even know where to start, but essentially, you know, persons who begin smoking or drinking alcohol, so when I talk about smoking, we're talking about marijuana or cocaine, there's now an uptick in even the ecstasy pills, which is a party drug. Even cigarettes, people don't believe, BDs, all of those things are drugs. And so once persons begin using those before the brain completes its development, and based on research, we now realize that's about the age 24, 25.
Yes.
It sets people up for a lot of issues. So number one, they're likely to develop an addiction. Number two, the brain is going to be stunted. I can't tell you the countless number of young men and women, particularly young men, who have memory impairment in their early 20s, and I give them something to remember, and within a space of a minute, 2 minutes, they cannot remember because of the significant brain impairment that's done. Just to give you a few examples of how drugs can affect a person's ability, particularly when they begin using before the brain is completely developed. And so, you know, people often say, in the case of marijuana, and we're not here to debate whether or not it should be, you know, legalized in terms of recreational. However, you know, people say they use drugs or alcohol to kind of relax and unwind, and that may be true, but at some point you need to be able to draw the line and realize where it's causing problems for you. And it becomes even more of an issue when others around you, your loved ones, begin recognizing that, hey, you're not only destroying yourselves, but you're destroying our family because of your drug use. And then by then, you have to wake up and realize, you know what, maybe I do have a problem and you want to seek help. But my message is very clear, Valentino, especially to young people who I talk to almost on a daily basis. Do not start using drugs until your brain is completely developed. And that would be, for me, age 24, 25.
24, 25. But yes. I strictly agree with you. I really do, because if the brain is not fully developed, that means, like you said, you're going to have memory loss, then you're going to be lazy, and, you know, instead of you studying and, you know, push yourself to the next level, you become a problem for yourself and your family.
Absolutely.
You understand? You stay home, then you'll be, not interested in making, like, taking the first step.
Yeah.
You understand? Yeah. No one's going to help you if they see that you're in the house all day. You can imagine your mom going out to work all day. You, who around the same age, being smoking and et cetera, et cetera. You're laying down in the house and she telling you to wash the dishes. You don't want to do none of these things. She paying all the bills. And this is what we're talking about.
Absolutely.
So we're encouraging you, and we're not attacking on the marijuana. We're talking about the fact that if your brain is not fully developed at the age of 24 or 25, it's going to be a problem to you and it's going to be a problem to our country.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. And the same even speaks for behavioral addiction.
Behavioral addiction.
Yeah, like
gambling,
gaming, you know, a lot of times we, as parents, when I say we, you know, we tend to give our kids these devices, hopes of keeping them occupied, but you have to be very careful because if they are constantly playing these games, they can develop a gaming addiction to the point where they don't want to study, they don't want to go to school, they don't even want to sleep and eat.
Wow.
They're just so fixated on, you know, playing these games. And so even that, behavioral addictions, we have to be very careful of. And so, yeah, my message is definitely not only to take care of your mental health, but educating people about the importance of recognizing the signs, the symptoms, when you are at that point where you're heading downhill, and we want to prevent. My message is always prevent it from happening. Take care of yourself. Recognize when you go into that point of no return. Take breaks if you have to. You know, talk to someone if you have to, particularly our male population, where a lot of our men just don't know how to open up and talk until they internalize. And if you've been following the news, the last two suicides that have been reported have been included young men. Mm. One of them I knew personally. Oh. And so it's, unfortunately, I hate to be a bearer of bad news, it's going to get worse unless we start taking a proactive approach to dealing with mental illness in this country.
Wow.
And getting men, getting women, getting children who have been affected. And I have so many examples I can give just from COVID-19 alone.
Wow.
During the lockdowns, how many children have been affected, developing anxiety to the point now where they still have to be treated because of it, even though we're now getting to what a more normalized society in terms of how we interact. But that 1 year, 2020, mm-hmm. has caused a significant, I would say, impairment in the mental health of our nation and people in the world.
Wow. And this information is for all of us who live in here in the country, and this is for the powers to be, to take a listen to the show, listen to the doctor, because he is telling you exactly what's going on in our country and what is affecting this country. I know myself, but it's good for people who are the expert, who have been to school, who have hand-to-hand and eye-to-eye contact dealing with these matters to come and speak to you and to the general public. And I'm so happy that you're here tonight. So you're doing just a wonderful job of giving information. Also, I just wanted to talk about the fact that, you know, you stressed the fact that 24, 25, right? Mm-hmm. If you were smoking marijuana, how that could affect you. All of these things we've talked about so far on the show seems to me that it has to be addressed. Because if you look at the last two suicides, and you said that you know one of the mm-hmm. persons who committed the suicide, mm-hmm. all of the things we talked about earlier on the show leads up to depression, leads to anxiety. And anxiety is what, I guess, I'm not made enough progress. I don't want to live no more. So that's anxiety. That's what you're talking about.
Well, anxiety and depression, and I can certainly clarify them. When we talk about depression, I like to think of it as being defined as locked in sadness.
Locked in sadness.
You're locked in. Literally, you're just sad. You can't find your way out. And it's to the point where it affects you not only the mentally, where you just feel like you're going to implode inside, but physically. You can't sleep or you're sleeping too much. You can't eat or you're eating too much. You can't concentrate. You're tired all of the time. Your mind is constantly racing. You're to the point where you just look at life as doom and gloom. And if you can imagine facing that on a daily basis, the quality of life is significantly impaired. And so to put it all in perspective for you, Valentino, it was around 2013, the World Health Organization, they had predicted that by 2030, depression would be the number one disease.
Wow.
With all that we have gone through as a nation, particularly with Dorian, COVID pandemic, yes. I'm willing to say that we are there now. You know, so many people are walking around depressed. So many people dealing with anxiety. And I can talk about anxiety too, to put it in perspective for our audience. So anxiety, I like to think of as being just fear in its most extreme sense. What makes anxiety so debilitating is that you could be anywhere. You could be on the job, you could be at the gas station, you could be in church. And this whole, sequence of symptoms just hit you. The fear, you start trembling, you start sweating, you start having heart palpitations, you just start having that feeling that something awful is going to happen. And it's, again, if you were to talk to some of the patients that I've spoken to, it's a horrible, scary feeling, and you have no control over it.
No control.
No control. It's just like it hits you out of nowhere. And so anxiety and depression are like grace and mercy. They travel together. They're twins, such that even based on research, 50% of persons who have a diagnosis of depression are likely to develop anxiety and vice versa.
Wow.
So that's a very, very large number. and you're talking about people who, you know, on a daily basis, yeah, just dealing with these issues on a day-by-day basis. And so the stigma, you know, this whole stigma that I'm trying to shatter is affecting people from getting the help that they need.
Yes.
Because we use colloquially jokes like someone's crazy.
I take that back. I never say that no more because how you explain it to me.
Yes.
And then having my experience living in the city community, having conversation with my uncle and et cetera,
yeah.
And et cetera. What you said made sense. They are not crazy.
Yeah, because, you know, and someone's hearing that, they're not likely to get help because they are,
yes,
you know, feeling stigmatized or
yes,
even afraid.
Yes.
Because they think they would be ostracized.
Because you talk about spiritually, so we're flesh and blood. You said one of your programs, you and your fellow colleague, you know, y'all also what you call a spiritual program,
mm-hmm,
because you understand
absolutely
the anxiety and the depression. The only way you're going to get it if you can get the person to feel deep and down inside that they are someone special and having counseling and stuff like that. So
yeah,
that's very important. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to say to all the poisons out there living in the country, you know, a lot of poisons are going from 0 to 100, okay? Like, just let me get from Dr. Knowles really give this information. You're by a red light, you'd see someone turn the corner in the wrong manner. And you know, and it seems that if you just get a little fender bender, that person will jump out the car. And even if they're in the wrong, even if they go from 0 to 100, what do we call that? Why would you go from 0? I mean, the car's on 0, but I mean, the person,
yeah,
the car's on 0. How could a car, it takes a car a few seconds to get to 100, right? But an individual who's depressed or has an anxiety disorder or mental health disorder,
mm-hmm,
they go from 0. Some cases, they go from 0 to 100.
Yeah, yeah. And again, I don't even know where to begin with that. Obviously, it's extreme anger. It's a combination of things I'm finding. Frustration. You wake up having a bad day. If you are certainly intoxicated, you know, from the marijuana or
mm-hmm
alcohol, all of that mm-hmm plays a factor. But interestingly enough, and although this is anecdotal, Valentino, I'm finding, especially with our men, and this is all age groups that
all
I
all age groups of men,
that, you know, the women in their lives would say to me, "Doc, he's so angry. He's so irritable. I don't know why." And when I sit down one-on-one and I do a depression screen, he's scoring extremely high on the depression index to the point where he has a diagnosis of major depressive disorder. And so that is saying to me that a lot of the anger, a lot of frustration that we see being exhibited by our men is suggesting that they are depressed. Right. And again, it goes back to what I said earlier, based on the World Health Organization and the stats that they gave, that, you know, depression is going to be the number one disease.
Oh.
And so certainly a lot of people are finding life on a daily basis to be very stressful.
Mm-hmm.
And even the STEP survey that was done in 2018 confirmed that. And based on that study, that demonstrated that, you know, persons over 18, they were studied, I think it was on Six Islands, so they did a survey, and they found that 17,000 people that year wanted to end their lives.
Yes,
Remember that, right?
Yes.
That's extremely sobering.
Repeat that one more time for the general public. And this here in the Bahamas or this in the U.S.?
This is the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
Okay.
And I believe it was New Providence with six other islands.
Mm-hmm.
And persons over the age of 18, all adults, that study found that over 17,000 Bahamians wanted or thought about committing suicide. The reasons, or the number of reasons, would have been because of stress, financial stress, emotional stress, untreated mental health illness. And even then, the then Minister of Health, Dr. Dwayne Sands, noted that that was a public health crisis, indicating that we really have a public health issue on our hands that needs to be addressed.
Has this gone anywhere? I mean, it seems to, I mean, it's been, the minister has come and gone. And this is a priority based on the statistic you give.
Yes.
I hope that the listening audience and the powers to be can understand this, like they made a legislation, I think they made a law now to ask to make mental health as an issue in the country. I hope that they're going to start helping persons like yourself and your organization to lead the front in this fight here in the country, because you're so knowledgeable and there are so many of you are out there who need to get to the front line in order to curb this problem, because you are committed and you understand this.
Yes.
And I feel that, you know, we need people like yourself that is non-governmental. It could be partner with government, but it just could be persons like yourself in this field right now, because mental health is the top priority. You said that the World Health Organization from 2013 saying that depression by
2030.
And we speed it up with COVID-19.
Yep. With us, Hurricane Dorian.
And Hurricane Dorian. Yeah. So yeah. We are speeding up, mostly by, we should be there now.
I believe so. I'll be honest with you, Valentine.
Yes.
I'm strongly believing that. And I think there's so many negatives about COVID, right? Of course. But
yes.
I think the one
it
good thing.
It exposed a lot of, exactly. It exposed to weakness.
Exactly. It's gotten people to say, you know what, my mental health. They're recognizing how my mental health has been impacted.
All those depression and anxiety and thoughts of suicide, as a young individual living in the community, I still do on a regular basis. I talk to some of the young men and some of the females are in the community. Yeah. And just like you said about the young man, them thinking about taking their lives, this is how it is. That's why when you see police give chase after a particular car, right? You know the police are heavily armed. You probably was in these guys who probably driving the car and probably shot at somebody or was on a robbery attempt. And you wonder why they are in such a getaway. Like, they're all about driving the car. And then you see, like, when they either crash the car, the police say, get out, put your hands up. They don't get out. They don't put their hands up. They open fire at the police. Exchange a gunfire, and someone gets shot, someone gets killed on the scene, someone gets away. And we are seeing that repeatedly, and it's going to keep on getting worse. Mm-hmm. So this is my assumption. I believe all of this has something to do with what we are talking about here today. Mm-hmm. We wonder why so many young men out there are so hard, and females are so hard. You know, we're talking about the males, but the females are really hard. Also, Dr. Knowles, you know.
Absolutely.
These young ladies, they're rough, they're tough, and we talk about the male, but also the female are similar, because the female today seems like, not the majority, they can't speak for all, they seems like they're not into love, they're not no feelings. Mm-hmm.
I know, right? And you know,
it's crazy.
You know, for some people, you know, who are Christians would say, yeah, these are the last days and we expect this to happen because Christ talked about it. But, you know, I've always said, you know, why does it have to happen now? We as a small nation.
We can fix it.
We should set the example for the rest of the
agree.
World, you know?
I agree.
You know what? As I talk a little bit about myself, and I'm not perfect, Valentino.
No, no.
I grew up, you know, off Gibbs Corner and West Avenue in Centerville.
Go ahead.
You know, but I thank God for my grandmother. I didn't have a father in the home. I didn't even have a mother in the home. My grandmother was my sole provider. But the love and the nurturing and what she poured into my older brother and me, that is something that is with me for life.
Yes.
And that set the foundation for who I am today.
Yes.
And I say that to say the upbringing, that foundation from a child is so important.
Oh.
Because that sets the stage, literally, you know, once you become an adult, those principles that would have been poured into you, that would make so much of a difference in your life. And, you know, and I also say that because the countless number of persons I work with, they go back into their childhood. A lot of the issues that they're dealing with stems from the childhood experiences they would have had, such as being molested or incest. And that's why it's a concern for me on the family islands, because the resources out there are so minimal. And also a lot of this stuff, unfortunately, just gets swept under the rug.
Wow.
But it's destroying lives because it's causing people to either turn to alcohol or marijuana or to have such a negative view of life because of what they have experienced in the past. So I say that to as many young men and women, you know, you have children, pour into them, protect them. You know, love them. You may not be able to give them everything that, you know, you would want to give them, but you give them the love, you give them the nurturing, you make sure they go to church, you instill in them a sense of pride, and you'll be surprised to know how much of a difference that's going to make in his or her life. But when you have children who are being abused, when they're being either neglected or physically abused or sexually molested, that's going to set the stage for a broken nation. Because at the end of the day, we are the ones together that make up this nation.
Wow, what you said is so powerful. You ran from talking about mental health, and then you took it, you explained what the problem stemmed from. It goes straight back to the family structure.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. You see, so what you're saying, I've been saying all along for many years, and I'm glad that you're a doctor, and you just explained everything. You know, you ran from the back, and you went straight to the front because it comes again to that family structure. And for me, and for me as a young man, what you said is so true. My grandmother grew me up too. My mother and father were never instrumental in my life, not one time in my life. Okay, and my grandmother and my auntie, my uncle, they're the ones who really bred me. And the community, you know, was just chaos. And I pick up some of that chaos. And that, like what you're saying now, it reflects back to the family structure, the father, the mother, making sure that when you have these children, you have a plan for them.
Yes.
Are you going to sit down with them and do their homework?
Yes.
Are you going to guide them to tell them what is right and what is wrong? If you go in the food store, you put your hand on something that you're supposed to put your hand on, are you going to allow the child to continue to do these things? You know, it's up to the parent because it's what you teach them. So what you're saying is so important. So I like to say to fathers and mothers out there, you know, I know that, you know, the doctor 24 to 25 the brain would be fully formed. Mm-hmm. So when we're looking at young persons having kids and on marijuana and on drugs, they're not thinking straight. They're not. They don't have a plan for their future. Yeah. So this is something set up for disaster, mm-hmm. because what is going to happen is that you're going to have a child, mm-hmm. and if he or she don't have a plan to say, you know what, let's work together to build a house or get an apartment. Let's say that next year we should be able to move into the apartment. Mm-hmm. Say able to get some money. Next year we should be able to move in the apartment. We should be able to get the child in school or et cetera. What we're going to plan for in the next 5 years, are we going to get a car this year, and et cetera. That, you understand, a structural plan, mm-hmm. right? So if you're saying what you're saying, then that's why a lot of kids are not getting the love from their mothers and fathers. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then there's a lot of hate in this kid, mm-hmm. he or she.
Anger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then that reflects as they get older.
Yeah.
So what are they going to teach their kids?
Exactly, yeah. And so it does, you know, you make a good point, Valentino. It tends to reciprocate itself in the future generation because no one, and if I can call it a generational curse, no one has actually said, you know what, I'm not going to go through this anymore. I'm not going to, you know, either be a mother, a teenage mother, or I'm not going to be that kind of father who's going to be sleeping around having so many different children.
Sure.
At some point, it has to start with you.
Right.
And even if you've made mistakes in the past, as long as you're alive, you could always
try
your best to
rectify
them, it. You know, to be, you know, the parent that you knew you should have been. Or even if you're a grandparent, just like my grandmother.
Yeah, they were great. They were great. They were great. They were great. They were the best.
What? Yeah.
They were the best.
You know what? So as long as we're alive, every one of us can make changes in our lives. You know, if you're listening to me right now and you're not happy with your life, that's a sign that, you know what, you want change. But to get change, you have to not only be prepared to work for it and do it the right way and trust in God to be able to guide you. Because I also say, Valentino, we've all been created for a purpose. My purpose should not be, I cannot see God creating me to sell drugs, to destroy the lives of other people, as an example, or to be a prostitute sleeping around. That cannot be God's best for my life, you know. But I believe that, you know, for whatever purpose he's created us for, if we seek that, if we desire to have that purpose, we strive to attain it. And once you've reached that point in your life, you begin to realize, yes, this is why I'm alive. And you're able to flow in your purpose and flow in your growth and development as a person and even to the contribution of our society. And so it has to start from within you.
Mm.
You know, and I'm always the one to say, you know what, stop pointing fingers. But for the grace of God, but I could have been that one in prison or strung out on drugs,
you know.
But with the compassion, you recognize, you know what, as long as you're alive, there is hope. And some people just need a break. Some people just need one opportunity to get them right on the right path. Mm-hmm. And so we can be more of a loving society where we're able to do whatever little it is. You don't have no idea how much of an impact that it's going to have on someone's life.
Wow.
And so we need to start somewhere. We need to start, you know, within our inner circle, in a city, you know, going back to where we grew up, you know, talking, educating, pouring into, because nobody's had the time to talk to these persons, to educate them. And of course, nothing is going to happen unless someone takes the time to deposit in them education so that they now have a better idea and understanding of what they need to do.
Talking to those, by you talking this now, do you think we have gone from being an island nation, you know, where we eat healthy, to now becoming a city nation trying to be like more like America? Mm-hmm. Do you think that has affected us? It has affected us?
I think so. And, you know, I don't necessarily want to come off as being preachy, but whenever we stray away from principles that, you know, even if I could say our forefathers that they have lived by, you know, you look back and you read stories, or you would have heard, you know, from our grandmothers telling us stories, you see there's a vast difference in what kids are going through today compared to when they were kids. And even when you and I were young, you know, it's a vast difference. You know, back in our day, we didn't have cell phones.
No.
Kids today have cell phones. And to me, they're a blessing and a curse.
Yes,
you know,
they can be.
You know, and so, yes, I do think even with becoming modernized and, you know, in terms of trying to have, you know, a better quality of life, not to say that anything's wrong with all that's bad, but at the end of the day, the principles, that is what's going to make a difference.
Yes, because we had a village type mentality, okay? And the reason I'm saying it's because we are 700 islands, 700 kids, and it might be more than that, okay? For us, during research, and the vast majority of Bahamians cannot swim.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm meaning, where we're losing our identity as an island people.
Yeah.
We're trying to become something that we're not.
Yeah.
And that has changed our identity. It has created a lot of problems in our country, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
If you look at what's going on in America right now, right? America's completely changed, right? It's completely changed. And, you know, 25 years ago, many people just would have wanted to go to America. You know, now people don't want to go because a lot of things has changed in America. Mm-hmm. And it has become, you know, it's gone from being that different Indian, the Europeans, the Russians. It was more like a place where different races came to, and they brought their traditions, they brought their skills. And it was fun at first, you know, because they brought different cooking, carpentry. So it was like a village concept.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, as it begins to continue to grow and get powerful, it forgot the small little things that made it what it was.
Yes, yeah.
You understand? So what I'm saying to us as a country, the small things is the family structure, the village, building up the community. We together awaken collectively to empower one another.
Yes.
And that's what we have lost. And unless we put our priorities in the right place and understand that we are not a concrete jungle.
Mm-hmm.
We can be a little part of a concrete jungle, but let's keep our island identity.
Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, and I agree with you, you know. I mean, even thinking about my late uncle, one of the things I so much appreciated with him was that he taught me about things around the house, you know. The old plumbing that I still remember today.
See?
Or even basic electrical.
Yes, yes.
You understand? As opposed to, as an example, him teaching me how to smoke marijuana.
Yes.
Or drink alcohol. That's going to set the stage for failure.
What your uncle teach you how to do plumbing and electrical.
Little stuff. Yeah.
Now today, uncles today who would have their niece or nephew would give them a marijuana joint.
Right.
Or the mothers today, or the fathers today would sit down with their sons on the side of them or in the bar.
Right.
Mothers would be in the bar with their daughters, head up, dressed up the same way. So when raw time come, which thing the daughter's going to say to their mother?
Yeah, yeah. So, Yeah, I agree. And again, I go back to that age range, you know, when the brain is developing, it is critical.
That is not right thinking.
Yeah, it isn't.
Not you and your daughter in the same like club. Yeah. Come on, man. And your son? Yeah. And probably, no,
Yeah, when you think about it in that context, you realize, you know what, yeah, something is really
wrong.
Something is
really wrong.
Yeah, not right. Not casting judgment, but at the end of the day, you know, a parent's responsibility. When you become a parent, when God has blessed you with a child, your life has to change. You cannot be living the same kind of way as you were when you were single and you have a son and a daughter, a pair of eyes looking at you. Because at the end of the day, you are responsible for that child, all right, for teaching him and nurturing him and ensuring that he has everything or she has everything that she needs to be the best possible person in society. And again, you may not be able to give them everything that you would want them to have, but whatever you do have, it makes such a difference in their life. Yeah, that person is going to grow up to be a meaningful contribution to society, as defined as one of the criteria of our World Health Organization definition.
See, I just want to read something real quick. The Queen dies, right? British monarch, she died. And she died at 96. Mm-hmm. Do you think she had any stress? You know what I'm saying? That's what I want to do. I want to die like that.
Yeah.
I want to die like that. That's how I want to die. I want to die home. Like how I saw, what's the lady name now? Minister of Education, Glenys Hannah Martin, former father, when he passed away. And I said, you see that? I tell the young guys, you see where he died? He died around family members, probably holding his hand. I say, that's the way how we're supposed to pass away, peacefully with our loved ones around, not getting slaughtered in the streets or in prison or, you know, no. I say, if I believe I do a good job of changing the way I think and being more productive citizen, I want to die like that. I want to die like how my grandmother passed away in the house with all of us around. I wasn't there, but my uncle and my aunt was there.
Right.
And she passed away peacefully at home. And that's the way I want. You know what I mean? That's the way I want to go. You understand?
Yeah, so I understand. Yeah.
Yes. But condolences to the Queen and to the royal family. And may God bless her soul. And bless everyone else's soul who have been dying today, yesterday. Bless everyone's soul who has passed away.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, I mean, you know, Valentino, the fact of the matter is, like I said earlier, as long as you're alive, whether you're rich, you're poor, you're black, you're white, you're European, you're Caribbean, you're going to have stress.
Yes,
all right?
Yes.
So even though the queen lived this glamorous lifestyle, the fact of the matter is I'm quite certain
she had problems.
She had some issues.
Yes, yes.
You know, that we may not be aware of. But that's why mental health is so important because it's no respect of persons, mental illness that is. And so whether, again, no matter your social status.
You're right.
If you're not taking care of your mental health, you are going to miss out on the best possible quality of life.
And to give evidence, what are you talking about? Michael Jackson, mental health.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Prince, some of the greatest singers of all time, mental health. Marilyn Monroe, the lady who was over here who passed away, she did the same thing with Marilyn Monroe, who was an idol. What her name was now? With the former Senator Shane Gibson now? What the lady name?
Oh, Anna Nicole.
Anna Nicole.
Yeah.
She followed Marilyn Monroe, you know, and Marilyn Monroe committed suicide.
Yeah.
And so it was depression, anxiety. We could go as far as the case with Johnny Depp and his wife.
Mm-hmm.
You saw where he talked about his mental health. Just recently in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, we just recently saw where our divorce settlement was granted by a judge who ruled in favor of the wife, but she also ruled in favor of the husband.
Mm-hmm.
And if you listen to the report I read last week on the show, you would see where she said she was suffering from mental health.
Yeah.
And then, you know, her husband, Robert, too, he said he's suffering from mental health. But the point of the matter is she was stating that she was being abused in the relationship, that she was getting, husband was throwing herself on him when she didn't want to.
Right.
But by law, you know, husband can rape his wife. And like I said, no decent man would want to go on, whether you're my wife or not. If my wife don't want to free up anything for me, I could put it like this. I'm not going to force myself on her.
Mm-hmm.
But if she continues the way, like you said, no prostitution. I just go try find a girlfriend or someone who I could talk to. And you know, if it don't work out between my wife, then you have to move on. But far as I can see, I'm never going to give a man right forever going on a woman, whether he's married or not. But by law, it cannot be. Boyfriend and girlfriend, like I stated, rape.
Mm-hmm.
You know, someone, a lady running the streets and jogging and accosted, that's rape. So we got to understand what rape actually is. But like I said, she stated that, you know, she was mentally ill. And then we had a few other cases, some court cases where some guys in court who, you know, were involved in serious crime, they stated they had mental health issues. Mm-hmm. And then for me, Mr. Knowles, you know, like I said, I'm not perfect. You know, I just trying to correct some stuff that happened in my life. I was very violent in my life. I've hurt a lot of people. A lot of people hurt me. I've seen a lot of people get hurt. Now, thousands of people get hurt, and people still getting hurt. And I myself, so, had a mental health issue, okay? Wow. I had a mental issue. Yeah. How I got rid of my mental health issues is when I started to talk to people like, just meeting people like Elaine Pinder, mm-hmm. you know, Debbie Bartlett, mm-hmm. and then I started to meet like pastors, like Hugh DeRoe, and just having conversation, and my mind started to open, talking to former prime minister of the country, the late great Sir Lyndon Penlin, meeting Mr. Christie. So just started, my mind started, this would, you know, I was depressed and didn't know where I wanted to go in life. And sometimes I think, why am I achieving my goals as to be a husband and wife and have a nice car, nice house, nice business, because my mind was not in the right place. Right. And when I started to talk to these people and I see how they were living, it kind of motivated me, you know. Yeah. I'm doing something wrong. Let me correct some things in my life. Right. Let me keep away from my friends. Let me make a decision as a man for once in my life. Right. Let me get rid of my friends and let's see what happens. Let me see if I can start to write and apply for jobs or find some good. And, you know, and by doing that, my mindset changed, mm-hmm. and I gradually healed myself.
Yes, yes.
You know, I healed myself because I had the negative of hurting somebody of what you call, instead of me spending time finding ways I could better my life, right. I stand them talking with Mr. Knowles. Mm-hmm. You know, we gossip a lot. All this is some of the stuff you're talking
Absolutely.
About.
Absolutely, yes.
You know, we gossip a lot. Instead of you go and try to do something like what Mr. Knowles doing. Mr. Yeah. Knowles studied for over 20 years. He went abroad, saved some money, went abroad, got his education, and now he's making a certain amount, and he's doing not too good, but he's surviving. You here, ain't doing nothing but yourself. Well, look at him. He believe he better than somebody. Yeah, he better than somebody. His mind is right. His mindset is better than your mindset. Your problem is you're going to get old at the age of 60 and you're still going to be paying rent. Mm. Right? Not saying I'm disrespecting nobody. I'm saying we need to put the priorities where we need to put priorities.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's what I'm talking about right now. Go ahead, Mr.
Yeah. I first of all, Valentino, want to commend you. I mean, what a powerful testimony. Yes. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Yeah.
That is what, if I can be honest with you, I think a lot of our young men who are perhaps in the same place that you were at some amount of years ago, that's what they need to hear, that, you know, it is possible for you to turn your life around.
Yes,
you know,
can.
In spite of.
You can.
And so I applaud you and
yes.
I pray
you.
God's blessings
yes.
as you take this initiative and trying to make a difference in our society.
Yes.
But yeah, I always, you know, share with people that if you want something to have a different outcome, you have to do things differently.
Yes, you have to.
Right,
you have to
put
cut
some
change.
Things.
You have to make changes.
Make sacrifices. You have to, you know, go ahead and go after whatever it is that you want. Because at the end of the day, it's not going to come to you.
No, it's not going to come to you.
And sometimes that even means giving up persons who may not have that same mindset,
mm-hmm.
who are going to pull you down,
mm-hmm.
who are going to prevent you
mm-hmm.
from achieving mm-hmm. the goals that you wish to have
yes.
in life. And it goes back to your purpose. I want people to start looking at their lives, not just as being existing. There's
yes.
more to life than just being alive.
Yes,
Dr. But having
knows.
Purpose. Why am I here? Why did you create me, God? Whether it's through a marital affair, or whether it's through a husband and wife, or whether it's through a teenage mother, why did you allow me to come to this earth? And I honestly believe with all my heart, Valentino, that we all have a purpose here. And I think once we start asking those questions, and seeking God for those answers, I believe he will reveal it to us.
Yeah.
And it will be made plain and clear. And once we have that, go after it. Go after it with everything. Because once you've accepted your purpose, you seek his will for your life, he's going to ensure that things line up for you. And it's not always easy.
No, it's not.
But the experience, let me look at it that way. Even the challenges, when you look back upon it, you'll be like, wow. I appreciated God. I appreciate it.
I only can laugh, because, honestly. Mr. Knowles, what you said is a mouthful. It was a difficult road for me to get to this point. And then, like you said, I tried, and there was failure after failure after failure, and disappointment, and yeah. I wanted to give up.
Yeah.
And you know what? I said, let me continue. And God just put all the resources yeah. that I needed. Yeah. You know, that's how I got this show. Mm-hmm. Hey, this yeah. is how I get support for the community center, that's the new state-of-the-art community center that's going to be built in the Lewis Creek area
wow.
For awesome. The community. You know, to yep. teach the kids about these same issues and about why an opportunity for them to have a chance to become productive citizen in the community, you know. So I'm very, very thankful. And how you explain that, it's true what Dr. Knowles said. You know, when I started off my community work, I started off with nothing. Now being able to do some important stuff and programs in the country because, like how you said about God coming, ask you, try, he would hook you up with all the right connections and put things in place. We have to take a break, hey? Okay, the producer's in, Mr. Knowles, you're doing such a wonderful job. He said that we have to take a break. So to the listeners, please, don't go nowhere. We'll be right back with Dr. Sean Knowles on Guiding Radio 96.9 FM.
Like a sign blank check, it seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break till it grieve me. But I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people I from.
Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro.
Ghetto. Don't take no back talk.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
When faced with an illness like cancer, we band together. And we at Cleveland Clinic in Florida have your back. From advanced cancer treatments to extra safety measures at all of our locations, we're with you on this journey. For every infusion and follow-up, for every step of the way, for every care in the world, Cleveland Clinic in Florida. Get the care you need when and where you need it. To learn more or connect with a local representative, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
The Access Accelerator Small Business Development Center is here to help small businesses throughout the entire Bahamas. To better serve you, we've made it easier to contact us. Call 461-7232, WhatsApp 359-0626 or 359-2394, email helpdesk@sbdcbahamas.com or submit a ticket when you visit our help center at accessaccelerator.org. The Access Accelerator, empowering small business.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
La 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 la. La 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 la.
We're back on Guiding Radio 96.9 FM. I'm your host, Wellington O'Brien, a.k.a. Scoochie Scrooge or Scrooge. Scoochie. And you're on Guiding Radio 96.9. And we have our special guest, Dr. Sean Knowles in studio. And he's doing such a wonderful job of educating the general public. And like he said, mental health, depression, anxiety, and all of these needs to be addressed here in the Commonwealth of the country. And before we comment on the next subject, I just want to say this. When you were talking, Dr. Knowles, something that came across my mind, and I'm trying to remember, but I think I remember it now. We were talking, most in Fox Hill Prison, we call it the Bahamas Correctional Institute, most serious offenders. I personally know some of the most serious offenders in the country who are not Fox Hill Prison or Bahamas Correctional Center for Institution. And talking to them when they come back on the street sometimes after they get released, you know that the way they think and how we think is completely different.
Yeah.
I just want the general public to know that. All right? So persons who you see being incarcerated for 15 and 10 years and 20 and 25 years, they're not like me and you who, you know, been living free. Mm-hmm. Their mindset is different, they think different, and they act different. Mm-hmm. And like I said, we're gonna have to find a way to address those issues as well.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. So, Mr. Knowles, mm-hmm. you talked earlier on the show, at the beginning of the show, you talked about the partnership with you and one of your fellow doctors, and y'all have a particular program that y'all has collaborated to bring awareness, and you talk about it spiritually mm-hmm. and dealing with mental health and et cetera. Could you give the general public a little taste that if anyone out there who has a family member or someone who's going through any one of these symptoms, you might be able to assist and get some assistance from Dr. Knowles and his our friend. So if you want to.
Yeah, sure. So let me start off, like I said at the beginning, I work at the Sanders Rehabilitation Center. So I want to start off by just giving a few of the resources, the public resources that we have available
for okay.
persons who may be in need of, you know, help yes. for their mental health. So the first one is the Community Counseling Assessment Center. That's located on Collins Avenue across from Colina. They're open Monday through Friday.
Monday to Friday.
Mm-hmm. From 9 to 5. And even with the so-called pandemic that we're still in, you know, COVID, you have to call in ahead of time.
For appointment.
Yeah, to schedule an appointment. Okay. So I'll give the number, but it's called the Community Counseling yes. Assessment Center. It's 323-3293. In addition to that, it's important to state that anyone who is, for example, suicidal or any poses a danger to himself or or someone else, that's an emergency. Get that person to the Princess Margaret Hospital or Doctor's Hospital, for those who can afford it, right away, because at the end of the day, you potentially can lose a life.
Wow.
All right. So anyone who is actively suicidal, you have to get them to PMH right away or to Doctor's Hospital. Just to give a few other resources that's available, we have the Suicide Prevention Hotline.
Suicide Prevention Hotline.
Mm-hmm. 322-2763. The Crisis Center is also available, 328-0922. You have your local public clinics. You have your private physicians who should certainly be able to help. Certainly religious leaders, various churches. But I like the fact that as of this year, there was a youth help hotline in partnership with the Bahamas Crisis Center that was established. And so they have operation hours from 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. and from 6 p.m. to 11 p.m. where persons, adolescents under the age of 24, can call in, and if they have any problem, persons are there to provide them with talk therapy and guidance. And so the numbers there, I'll just give a few of them. It's 359-3150 or 51. That's 359-3150. And that's between the hours of 5 a.m. and 9 a.m. And then the 6 p.m. to 11 p.m. contacts are 359-3142, 359-3142, or 45. And so I say that to say is, you know, even though we're making small steps, there's a lot more that can be done.
Yes.
I would like to see more resources being available on the family islands. Because, of course, you know, they are disadvantaged in so many ways, you know, and we're so Nassau-centric
yeah.
that we tend to forget that our persons
yeah.
and family members who are living on the various family islands,
they need help.
You know, who are possibly in need of help. And, you know, where there's such a smaller communities, a lot of them, of course, are not even open to talking about mental health because of the fact, again, they don't want to be stigmatized yes. or ostracized by the communities. And so if they do take any approach at all, they have to come up with monies to fly from their respective islands to New Providence.
Near impossible.
And if there are family members here, they have to find a place to stay. And so as you can imagine, it can be very off-putting, especially if you don't have that kind of money. Yes. And so, you know, I beg the Minister of Health, let's try to do something
on the family,
on the family islands to make it more available for people who are in need.
We should, you know, because they were just talking about the issue, you know, how they need ambulance, air ambulance, you know, and et cetera, need clinics, and the government has made strides in building two new clinics. Mm-hmm. But like you said, you know, family islands are underpopulated, but at the same time, there's still a community, and they're part of us, you know,
mm-hmm.
Cat Island, and et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Long Island, these places like that, they should be able to have the proper equipment. And the equipment means the equipment's basically should be supplied by the government of the Bahamas and the private sector. But most importantly, what we need to understand is that each and every community, based on the statistics you give from 2013 with the World Health Organization, saying that around this particular time, 2030, that we would the number one health problem would be depression.
Depression, yeah.
So that means that we have to be able to coordinate and understand that where there's people, there's depression.
Yes.
All right. So that means we have to make the proper equipment and resources.
Yeah.
I think we get a call. We're gonna take this call. We want to take this call, Dr. Knowles, because this is about a learning lesson. But you want to take a call?
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do it.
Can we take this call if you want to? Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City.
Good morning, this is Doc in Oasis along with the good doctor and our new scoot.
Good day to you, sir.
Need justice, law, and order in this country, the Bahamas. Bremen here. Okay, Doc.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon to you. Or good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Wonderful.
You know what? Couple of things bothering me, right? I think every family island should have medical apparatus. You know, like what you would call, like, start off with the ambulance. The ambulance should be real outfitted. And a clinic should be on every island where people are. Island and key.
Yes.
Okay, where people are. Secondly, you know what also bothered me? The little girl who got killed on that, where they said the swing, you know, what was swinging in the swing.
Oh, Lord. Yeah.
Come to find out when the police went there, the swing was not there anymore. But, you know, what it showed me that was negligent whereby it's not being, you know, looked at, you know, take care of. If that's the word I should use.
You mean monitored by the government?
Not so much monitor, right? Check out for
maintain.
Abnormalities. You see my point?
Maintenance and all that.
Say it again?
Maintenance and et cetera.
Maintenance, good. You got it. Maintenance. You see? Somebody should get charged. That young child. I have young grandchildren.
Wow.
Grand girls. Great grand. You know what I'm saying? I felt that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So many points you've brought up, sir. Definitely, I do think that there's a need to improve, upscale our health resources. And again, for the purposes of this show, Valentino, you know, that includes mental health.
Yes,
you know, because
I agree.
For far too long, we've neglected that. And so I would love to see where there are very functioning, if I can use that word, clinics on all of the islands where there's population. And that's going to be inclusive not only of a physician or a nurse, but also persons in, you know, in terms of mental health, persons who can provide adequate care for non-communicable diseases like diabetes and hypertension and high cholesterol that have the potential.
Obesity.
Even dentists, you know, there's a need for dentists on the islands.
Yes.
So many islands are plagued by the fact that there's no dentist, and so,
they
have poor oral hygiene, you know. And so, yeah, if there's a way that we can improve that, imagine what a nation we would be.
Wow.
You know, and I don't know the cost of all of that. I, of course, there is no cost. But at the end of the day, what better health can you have or wealth can you have if you have a healthy, strong nation?
You're correct.
Right. And the second thing, you know, one of the things that always bothered me too was, or is, I should say, we don't maintain infrastructures in this country.
No,
like
we don't.
Should. We build something and we just let it run down.
Look at the Sports Center, the QE Sports Center. Look at that. That's a brand new building built, what, more, 10 years ago?
Yeah.
And look at it now.
Yeah, and so, you know, it's to the point now where something has to happen to wake us up. Like,
yes.
we are reactive instead of being proactive. And so now, hopefully, this forces whoever the parks fall under for them to now to take a proactive approach to maintain, to ensure that equipment are working properly,
yes,
such that persons, you know, their lives won't be in danger. Yes. What a sad tragedy. I mean, that's even beyond a tragedy. That's a sad tragedy.
On a park. Young girl. Killed by a swing.
Oh, my God. Man, you know, and I have one daughter, and just thinking about that just causes me to shudder. And so, yeah, you know, cover your children, pray, you know, we as a nation, let's do better in terms of what we can maintain and ensure that whatever we have available, we're taking care of it. We're making sure that it's functioning properly, that it's able to cater to whatever the needs and wants are for the purposes that it was designed.
Yes.
And so at the end of the day, yeah, there's more work to be done, Valentino. Much and more.
I want the general public to know this. That's why I'm glad that Guardian Radio helped me on the show, and they said that they wanted the stories about the inner city. They wanted, you know, the inside stuff. Listen to this. Over the last 5 years, how many different incidents we have seen happen in Camp Road? Think about this. Now look at this. This is an accident now where a little girl got killed with a swing. Now if we look back 2 months, we had a shooting, someone get killed. Before that, shooting. And all this happened in Camp Road. But that's what they don't understand. The whole entire Camp Road has a mental health issue. Okay. That's what it is. That's what it is. You know, we've had it in Grandstand. You know, all of us, majority of us, have mental health issues. But in the Camp Road area where you're seeing heinous crime after crime, right? Now you're seeing freak accidents. Mm-hmm. You're seeing suicide. You're seeing mass shooting in Camp Road. Mm-hmm. The focus right now in the country is supposed to be Camp Road for the authorities and the healthcare system where they have poisons setting up forums and knowing that there's a problem and talk to people in the community as much as possible. Camp Road right now is suffering from a serious mental health issue.
And that's a very good point, Valentino. You know, even going back to the definition that I gave, and you heard me state, and this is a premise I hold true to, that there's no health without mental health. Because the way how your mental health is impacted, it affects the way that you think, it affects the way that you feel, and it affects the way that you act. And so if you see someone acting strangely, then it goes back to the basic principle that their mental health is impaired, that they're going through a mental health issue. And so, you're right. And we're not just, you know, saying Camp Road, but that's
everywhere. It's everywhere.
Yeah. You know, depression, anxiety, substance use disorders.
All over. High.
Even in terms of genetic mental health issues, like schizophrenia and bipolar. Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's you know? That's frequent in the community.
Yeah.
What do you call it? Bipolar
disorder, yeah. Schizophrenia. Schizoaffective disorder.
People say, like, Mr. Norris, you telling the truth? Because I'm trying to figure out, me and this guy, I know, I see the guy give him $7. He ain't bring back the guy change. The guy's still telling us he bring back the guy change.
Wow.
And we know he ain't bring back the guy change. The guy sent him to the store, and he telling them, I bring back a change, say, you was right there. I bring back, I say, hold on. You know, I say, you ain't never come back, be as Rachel. And he's still telling us. Mm-hmm. So where we going, let's up?
Well, it could be a whole lot of issues. I mean, I don't know the full story, but yeah. But
you understand what I said?
Essentially, you know.
That's what happened in our country.
Yeah.
A lot of people right now, sir, would tell you, like, how I explained just now.
Yeah.
And they telling you it's the truth, but you see with your own eyes it ain't the truth. But they convinced without a reasonable doubt that what they doing and they was in the right.
Yeah.
And that's what's going on in our country right now.
Yeah.
And so, that's why you're saying about the drugs and you should, if you're saying you should not smoke, you should not drink. But if you do it at the age of 24, afterwards, 25, after your brain's fully developed, so you can make the right decision, the right choices, and plan for a future.
Yeah.
And nobody schizophrenic like how the guy said he brought back the guy change. And I be ready to stand up and be sorry he didn't bring back the guy change. He still insisting with a reasonable doubt that, you know, the guy, like I look at the guy, I said, leave him alone. I said, it's only $3 change. I say, don't go there. You know, he say, understand, something right. And you know, he's going to say the same thing about the crazy thing. So I'm not going to say that no more, but I said, you know, so he ain't thinking straight.
Right.
So don't go chest level.
Yes.
That's only $3.
Absolutely.
Don't worry, but let him tell him everything cool. And then he just laughs. Man, everything good. Don't worry. It could be next time. And then let him go on, you know. But like you say, people need people to talk to, because even the person who said that he didn't give him a treat, he's getting ready to go hit this guy. So by you saying you need someone to talk to, so I was there standing up, not getting their business or nothing. And I said, no, you did not bring back the guy, James.
Yeah.
And I whispered to him, I said, look, you don't try and keep on arguing with him, or you ain't getting nowhere with that. Mm-hmm. Forget about that.
Yeah.
And I called him, I said, don't worry about that, man. I can send me and you get one, 2 minutes, and I'll come there, be. You understand? So I calmed him down by talking to him, because he was getting ready to explode on this guy. Because I know the guy lying to him, but the guy is insistent. So to you, what you think that is on the streets, that's like, my brother, you trying to tell me I lie and I know what I do and I get witness? Mm-hmm. I ready to, you understand? You ready to F him up over,
absolutely,
over the little $3, and that's what you're talking about, from 0 to 100.
Yeah.
And this is what's going on in our community now. That's why people like yourself, you know, you're doing a fantastic job. I'm glad that we understand that mental health, mm-hmm, depression, and anxiety, all these are linked, mm-hmm, and we have to treat these illness. Mm-hmm. Because we look at the enormous cases that before the court, you're seeing where the courts now are starting to adjust to the mental health issue of the client,
yes,
who before the court now. Yes. Because as they do the background check, mm-hmm, then they say this guy has an issue and it needs to be addressed. And absolutely, they're taking that into consideration even in the sentences, mm-hmm, of people now, because, mm-hmm, of these mental health issues. Mm-hmm. So yes, this is a top priority.
Yes, definitely.
I don't want to say this. Before I let you continue, we have about 20 more minutes.
Okay.
When we talk about maintenance, you know, Bremen just talked about the parks. Mm-hmm. For many years now, I've been in the office of the Prime Minister, talking about, we called them, should we start the program, gave them some ideas on the monitoring, the area monitors that the government hired in 2000, and I think under Mr. Christie leadership, to monitor areas like the go and see if there are lack vehicles to report it, and also to maintain the parks and, mm-hmm, stuff like that.
Okay.
And how Bremen talked about it, and you talked about it, the parks need to be, how people to come and look, mm-hmm, at the parks, the swings and etc., to see if any broken valves, you know, got kids play on the park, mm-hmm, and we have older guys come and drink their beers. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to be able to help people on the park to say, you know, you can't drink no beers on the park.
Right.
Make sure the kids are using the Wi-Fi that's going to be available in the park in the right manner. So we need maintenance on these parks, you know, in order for us to go forward, because we're just helping the kids on the park and we're not checking the equipment.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? And I think that is key. We talked about the Curie Sports Center, right? We talked about the conditioning in. That's a brand new stadium. And right now, if you look at it, it's rust. It looked terrible, even whole, no even, but it was just new maintenance. If you look at the hospital, you're seeing that the hospital has been around from the 1950s, I think 1950s, and we've just upgraded and do some renovation on it. But far saying maintenance, we have done a terrible job. Mm-hmm. We look at the Clarence E. Bean building, and it's got pushed down. We look at the post office. We look at all these things. These things end up getting demolished because the government or the bombers didn't have them. I don't know if they had them in insurance, but they didn't have no maintenance put in place where every year, mm-hmm, or every 6 months, we have maintenance workers come and check the building, mm-hmm, to see how we can get the budget done reasonable by maintaining the building so that it don't get out of hand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's, mm-hmm, our biggest problem in the country. I don't understand why we don't actually live up to the standards, you know. Having a new stadium, mm-hmm, and letting it rust doesn't make. Having a hospital and letting it decay. Having a post office, Clarence E. Bean building, and etc. All of them have gotten pushed down because we have been unable to maintain those structures. And we have many other buildings in this country that's going to get demolished. Yeah. Look at Bay Street.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So, yes.
Yeah, so that's work cut out for us. You know what? And I think all of us, even if we're not directly involved in, you know, a building on infrastructure, something as simple as not throwing your garbage out the car.
Yeah, all this stuff.
You know, keep your garbage in the car till you get home. Not, you know, throwing the beer bottle or the cigarette,
all this is part
or
of
the
mental
used
health.
Condom
yes.
out on the park. I mean, I've seen these, you know, some of the parts I've been to.
It's us. It's us.
Yeah, you know, it's not a good sportsmanship. It's not good stewardship of what we have available in this country. No. And so, again, it has to start with us.
It has to be cleanliness.
You know, and being aware that, you know, other people are around, kids are around, yes. children are around. When you throw your stuff out like that, it's not only does not look good, but it could pose a danger to persons, you know, who may be in those areas.
And we waste a lot of money with these cleanup programs year after year. And my friend Conker Leo, you know, he talked about these issues. I hope that the Minister of Education, Ms. Glenys Hannah-Martin, make it a priority if we could teach the kids how not to litter.
Mm-hmm.
Because we watched the schools, for instance, yeah. right? The kids that miss their lunch. Mm-hmm. They don't throw none of the stuff in the garbage bin. Yeah. Field just get clean. Mm-hmm. We just pay some guys, some contractors to clean the field. Okay? The kids take lunch at 12 o'clock. Mm-hmm. When you look, there are plate on the ground. There are Capri Sun on the ground. Yeah. There are cans on the ground. Everything is on the ground. The minute the kids eat something, they drop it on the ground. Mm-hmm. So we have to make it priority, just because this is about the health also.
Mm-hmm. It is.
We have to make it priority that we put our programs in the schools that we teach our kids cleanliness, mm-hmm. and not the litter.
Yeah.
And we have to teach so that they can grow to teach their children, mm-hmm. not the litter. That's why you see so much Bear Ball can, so much Capri Sun can, so much Chip can.
Mm-hmm.
And then the parents you talked about driving the car, the kids in the car, you're going to take your Bear Ball when you drink it and throw it out the ball.
Yeah.
So what the kid is going to do when he's in Kentucky
thing.
Box?
Yeah.
He's going to take the Kentucky box and throw it out the window. Mm-hmm. I hope the police be raiding the bar, and you won't get no break. Get the ticket,
yeah.
you know, because yeah. that is terrible. That's why our streets don't stay clean.
Mm-hmm.
We had spent so much money cleaning up, and then we as citizens, mm-hmm. our kids, ourselves, would just go and have no concern whatsoever about cleanliness, you know. So.
Yeah.
So it's a lot
we have, and as a nation, we have a lot more that we need to do.
12 o'clock, man, so when you look, just pass, you know, if you just pass by one of the schools, you just watch the kids and just look over the fence and you'll see them sitting down, and when they eat, they leave it right there. And just sure, then when you, some would walk to the garbage, some are decent kids and are clean kids, but the vast majority, they just leave all the garbage.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the school, 12 o'clock, when they take lunch,
mm-hmm.
look at the field. Go to any primary school or junior high school and look when they buy the lunch at 12, 1 o'clock.
Yeah. And I think definitely, you know, even at that age, so I think it's so much easier to educate kids as opposed to adults who are set in their ways. And so in instances like that, if they have the, you know, I guess park monitors or persons who are there, to ensure that they see a child do that, make that child
pick it up and put it in the garbage.
You know, that way he or she is being reinforced, the importance of keeping the area clean.
Yes. Yeah. Awesome, Sean. You're doing such a wonderful job here tonight. Is anything else we missed out you want to cover? You could just talk about it real quick.
One thing I want to, I guess, definitely touch on, you know, we talked about the two young men who committed suicide. I want to talk a little bit more about that from a mental health standpoint. So
okay, go ahead.
Globally, again, based on WHO, the World Health Organization, mm-hmm. Someone on the face of the earth every 40 seconds ends his or her life.
Every 40 seconds?
Every 40 seconds, yeah. That's the average time based on, you know, all of the 204 territories and nations around the world.
Countries.
Yeah, where persons commit suicide. And I think one of the, for lack of a better word, I'd say things that is protective for us here in the Bahamas is that we believe that if we commit suicide, we go to hell. And so some nations don't have that principle.
Okay.
And so, in fact, they're glorified for committing suicide. But my point is, at the end of the day, suicide is never the answer. You're taking away your life, whether or not you believe in God, but just the fact that you're ending a life. And the majority of times why people end their lives is because of pain. They want the pain to end.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the depression, anxiety, and so on
come and play its role.
Come forth. Even in terms of gender, men are more likely to commit suicide by a ratio of 4 to 1. Women tend to have more attempts by a ratio of 3 to 1. And so the reason for that, or at least the explanation that we understand, is that, again, a man, once he makes up in his mind, because he may not have an outlet to be able to talk about how women talk about their feelings and what they're going through. Once he makes up in his mind that he's going to end it, he's going to make sure that happens by the most lethal means. And so I say that to say that men's health, and that encompasses mental health, I think needs to also be a priority in our country. And it's getting our boys to talk about their feelings, all right? It's getting them to be able to express themselves without this whole ridiculous notion that if you talk about what you're going through, you're soft or you're sissy or sissy, gay, which is utter foolishness, because if I start to internalize as a male, I have all these expectations of me, and I feel I'm not progressing or I'm not accomplishing that. To put it in perspective, I'm not, you know, if a woman just keeps telling me what an awful father that I am, I'm trying my best to take care of our four kids. As you can imagine, that's going to take a toll on him, especially if he's trying. And so when it gets to that point, for example, financially, where he's not being able to meet whatever ends meet, he has no one to talk to. It's even worse if he turns to the alcohol, if he turns to the substance like marijuana. We're seeing uptick in cocaine as well. That's going to impair his judgment. And so if you're already thinking those suicidal thoughts when you're sober, imagine what's going to happen if you're under the influence. And so in the Bahamas, the number one means of suicide based on a paper that was published by Drs. Kevin Bethel and David Allen.
I just read it last week.
I just read it last week.
Yeah. That's why I said the Richard you talk about. Sorry.
Yeah, and that's why we need to be aware of it. It's hanging. Yeah, it's hanging. So if you go to Uncle Joe's house and you know Uncle Joe is depressed, you see the six-pack of bush crap or whatever there, and in the corner you see a rope, you don't want to leave Uncle Joe alone because chances are he may very well be thinking about suicide, and that may be the last time you see him alive. And so it's being aware of what's happening in our own backyard so that we can help people, so that we can encourage people and, you know, make a difference in the lives of people who may be hurting. That's what it's all about. And so that's what this whole mental health campaign should be about, helping people to realize that there is hope, that there is help, that suicide is never the answer, and to point them in the right direction.
Wow. Dr. Sean knows, I don't know what to say, but you have done an extremely great job on guiding radio, entertaining and educating the Bahamian public. And, you know, by you talking, again, something crossed my mind. You know, I get it right in my head, but you just given the general public some information that has been very meaningful for them today, because it's been very meaningful to me. I read the research of Dr. Kiva Bell last week on the show from Dr. David Allen, because I'm a part of the board with them at the Ministry of National Security.
Yes.
So this ties into how I was giving my input to Dr. David Allen, Dr. Kiva Bell on the problems and how we could fix the problems, and we're combining the research and then they're doing some other research to the schools and et cetera. Yeah. So now this is some good data that we can use to take us forward, understanding that mental health is a serious threat to the Bahamian society, and we need to address it. And I'm glad that the government of the Bahamas has made it a priority to make it legislation, and by soon should be law. So I just wanted to give a thumbs up.
Yes.
And last but least, you want to say anything before we go? We have about six, seven minutes.
So much to be said. You know, and I know we haven't really touched on all that we could possibly talk about. So that'll give you an opportunity to invite me back again.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. So we can set up a next schedule and we can get that part. So, you know, you gave me a schedule. So after you leave the day, we'll see how we can set it up where we can come back and do that next segment. Yeah. And you can send me some of the info so that we could discuss it. Take it to part two, at least part three, because this is going to be an ongoing process, because we're going to have to keep this in the ears of the powers to be, and let this station here be able to allow persons like yourself with this expertise to come on these shows and represent the country, so that we can help push the powers to be to get it recognized that we need people like yourself to deal with this mental issue that is facing in our country, because basically all our crime that has happened today is related to mental health. Don't care how you look at it.
Don't
care how you look at it, people. It goes right back to mental health. Depression, anxiety, you know. And before we go, one of the guys who committed suicide, his brother said that his brother was going through challenges financially, relationship-wise, and then spiritual wise. Oh, and then he, you know, went away, and then he came home and he met his brother.
Oh, wow.
You know, because he didn't have no one to talk to.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow. Oh, boy. And so, in my conclusion, Valentino, I would say, you know, Bahamas, realize that there is no help without mental health. Take your mental health seriously. If somebody is in your life and they're causing you mental distress to the point where you are not sleeping, you're not eating, you know, you got to be able to draw the line and say it's not worth it. You know, and I don't care who it is, a coworker, a friend, a spouse, you know, so many, you know, domestic issues taking place.
On in the country now.
You got to take care of your mental health. That cannot be God's will for you to be suffering in silence. And so I would say, you know, if I can just give a few pointers from my own experience.
Go ahead.
Talk about your feelings. You know, I have my brothers, two of my brothers in Grand Bahama. I can pick up the phone. If I know I'm going through something, I can call them. Or my dad, my adopted dad in Marijuana. I can get on the phone and call him, you know, and I appreciate that so much because even me as the professional, quote unquote, you know, I have my bad days, right? So talk about your feelings. Find someone who's going to give you great advice, who has your back, who's going to maintain confidentiality and be able to give you wise counsel. Keep active. Exercise. That's one of the best ways to mitigate depression.
Exercise.
Exercising. Minimum 150 minutes per week. Whether that's, you know, 5 times 30 minutes or 3 times 50 minutes minimum. So going to R.M. Bailey Park, going for jogging on the beach.
That's good for you.
Walking. Yeah, brisk walking. Joining a gym. Whatever you need to do. Do a variety of things. But keep active. And it's going to mitigate any kind of
negative
weight gain
You
know, it's going to maintain, help your heart, it's going to help your cardiovascular fitness. Exercise, eat well, you know, and yeah, now and then enjoy the bad stuff.
Like the Kentucky,
but not every day.
Yeah.
Right. Because food, believe it or not,
you said it, you said it, get you lazy and etc.
Definitely.
Eating the greasy chicken in the bag and
feel luggy and sluggish.
And that's why, you know, I wonder why, but I do it. I get lucky now. I say, but I go to sleep.
Yes, yes. Learn to take breaks. Recognize when you're getting to that point where, you know what, I'm getting overwhelmed. Take a break. You know, do whatever you have to do. Get some quiet time.
Yes.
For those who drink alcohol, for those of us, for us men, no more than 2 drinks in a day.
2 drinks.
That's the recommendation to avoid any kind of issues involving alcohol use disorder. Women, 1 drink.
1 drink.
Keep in touch with those you love. Do something you're good at. Learn to love and accept who you are. Ask for help when you need it. And last but not least, care for others. Do something for others. And finally, trust in God. That'll be my
final. Do something for us. Kevin, we can take this call real quick. Caller, we're completely out of time, so if you can make it real quick, it'd be very good. Go ahead.
Yeah, bless you, Scoozy.
Hey, good night.
Yeah, you had a good choice listening straight to you, man. Good information coming in from the psychiatrist, right?
Yes, sir.
But since you're on the topic of food, right, you know, I cook a lot, right, but I turn around, you know, sometimes I buy food, and I just was mindful of the fact that most of these people don't cook with the type of cooking oil that I use. And so I was looking at that. And so when you go and investigate the methods that they use to extract these oils, right, from these vegetables, these so-called vegetable oils, right, those are misnomers. They actually use petroleum and their distillates to extract these oils. We have been getting poisoned for a little while now. And so I'm glad to see the doc emphasizing exercising. Because you know when you run around or when you used to play ball all day or you go next, you see how good you feel afterwards.
Yeah, I feel that good.
So that's what I say, and I glad I get hooked on it from a young man, but you're not going to develop it later on in life.
Yes.
What I wanted him to comment on was, did we ever do electroshock therapy that led to permanent brain damage, irreversible brain damage? Because I know, I saw a lot of guys running the silence kind of normal, and then they came out. And so, you know, I read up on psychiatry and the construct and the diagnostic and statistical manual, et cetera, et cetera. And I know how they construct these diseases, like arithmetic learning disorder. They control the world. You go to court, the judge thumb down, the thing, I'm an order psychological evaluation without your consent. All of these are scientific dictatorial methods that they implement on the sheep. But what I wanted to know, when did we discontinue that? And I knew that I'm quite sure that they do it, but I don't know how long ago they stopped it. But I know that when we laugh at some people saying they went crazy, it's because of electroshock therapy that led to irreversible brain damage. This is one of the dark days of psychiatry. And we know what lobotomies and other things, because I've read about Benjamin Russell, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep. Right.
And be truthful.
right. Yeah, thank you.
So very quickly, we no longer use electroconvulsive therapy anymore at the Sandlands Rehabilitation Center. I believe that was something that was done decades ago, but no longer implemented because it is a lot of risk involved. Mm. And so I'm not able to comment fully, but I know for a fact, sir, we no longer do that.
Right. I would like to thank you, Dr. Knowles, for doing such a wonderful job. And feel free, we're going to set up a schedule again so you can come on and address the general public on the fact of mental health and the effects of mental health. And also, he's giving you advice for home. You know, if you're abusive to your child, you could talk to your child, you know. If you have a relationship problem with your husband or your boyfriend, you know, you could talk it out, you know. One be quiet, let one talk. And when the one finish talking, you talk and then see if you could find the right and wrong in the conversation. And then you can agree if you're wrong and apologize, you know. And like Dr. Noel said, you know, men don't like to talk, but having a conversation, you know, with a spouse or with a girlfriend or with family members can mean a lot. It can change their life, change their mindset. You know, and for those out there, if you have similar problems, you know, you can call the numbers that Dr. Knowles gave. I hope you write them down. There's extension numbers that you can call at the Sandlands or Princess Margaret Hospital, Doctor's Hospital. So you had a lot of information tonight. So without further ado, I'd like to say I hope you enjoyed the show and enjoyed our guests. And I'd like to say thanks to Dr. Knowles. And we'll see you next week on Guiding Radio 96.9. I'm Valentino O'Brien, a.k.a. Scoochie or Scrooge or Scroogey. See you next week on Guiding Radio 96.9 FM. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and enjoy your weekend. Thanks, Kermit the producer, and all the callers. See you next week on Guiding Radio 96.9 FM. Mr. Knowles, thanks again.
Thank you.
People I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro. Don't take no bad talk, no bribe, or no joke. If you find a fiddly, find smoke.